Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, a first marathon after breast cancer.
I want to continue to do this for as long as possible. I have two sons, 11 and 9, and I just want to, you know, show them that things can happen in your life, but if you have goals and you set out expectations for yourself, you could kind of do anything. They see me running and they see me living a healthy lifestyle, just despite what happened, and this is mainly for them.
A running program for children with autism.
Kids just light up when they're running. I mean, I think when you think of kids running, they think of one speed. They love to sprint. They love to run fast. So we do try to help them with some pacing stuff. But I'd say that running, and we invite the families, so the whole families are there too. So I think the impact is that it gets the whole families active, and hopefully, you know, transfers over to different sports. But we really, the emphasis is on fun.
And why do people run ultra marathons?
Mentally, I felt like I carried this strength around with me, and that's enticing. And I think the people who do lots of ultramarathons, they kind of get addicted to that feeling of getting into a place where it's so extreme that you get this real kind of life-changing experience occurring. And to have that occurring again and again is quite addictive, and it's quite interesting. A lot of people who do ultramarathons, They come from quite troubled backgrounds. You do get a lot of former drug addicts and alcoholics and people who've had traumatic pasts. And there's something about getting through difficulty and getting through trauma that comes out in an ultramarathon particularly. And people find a lot of solace in it.
On this edition of I Run Radio, we'll talk to a very inspiring runner who's getting ready for her first marathon since recovering from breast cancer. We'll tell you about a remarkable program that provides a place to run and to have fun for children with autism and their parents. And the author of a new book that explores why people run ultra marathons. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you today?
I'm feeling great. Thank you.
Yeah, we've had some nice weather this week, and I've had some nice long runs. You know, we've had all kinds of spring flooding in Ottawa. A lot of people have been really deeply affected by it. Their homes under threat. There's been water everywhere. Many of the running paths are covered in water. That's a small part of the story. I'm not complaining because I can't run where I normally run when there are people whose homes are flooded. But it's just been this weird thing where everywhere you go, there's water in this city. And it's finally starting to kind of ease up a little bit. And so we're fortunate in that respect, even though the cleanup and the lasting damage is still an issue for a lot of families. But we just started to get more of that spring weather this week. So, you know, you feel liberated to get outside and run a little longer maybe and just enjoy the sunshine. So that's the kind of mood I'm in this week.
I like it, and I feel the exact same way. I mean, definitely we go through the winter, and definitely there's an element of, like, I survived that.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's confining, right? You know, it's you know, nobody's out for an 8K run on a Wednesday when it's minus 20 and thinking, you know what, this feels good. I'm going to go an extra couple of kilometers. Or when I get home, I'm going to stop in the driveway and talk to my neighbor. You know, just like the second you get to your house, you're running in the door, locking it shut, turning on the fireplace, you know, so it's liberating, I find.
My friend was so funny. I started running actually in the winter is when I picked up the sport, and I kind of, like, you know, usually you take somebody as some sort of mentor or somebody who kind of, and for some people it's the running room, but for me it was a friend, and we did it, and we started in the winter, and he was like, boy, and I really took to it. I was running all the time when I started, and he was like, you're doing it like this now. Wait till you see when the weather gets warm. You're just going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he was absolutely right. And just to put on shorts and a t-shirt and not think about it and just go. I mean, it's just a whole different, liberating is the perfect word. And I love the idea of, like, I just feel like you could definitely run faster when you're not
sure
wearing all of that stuff. You just want to.
You feel lighter.
More athletic. Yeah, you feel lighter.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, so it's great. And it's, you know, and for me, and I know you too, and for a lot of us, and I know a lot of people just raced, obviously, in Mississauga and Vancouver, Toronto, but, you know, Ottawa Race Weekend is coming up, and
yep,
Calgary Race Weekend is coming up, and the Buffalo Race Weekend is coming up, and it's getting a little warmer, it's getting a little more real, and it's exciting. I mean, there's definitely a buzz in the air.
Yeah, what I love about this time of year in Ottawa is you see the big groups of people out training because they're counting down to Ottawa Race Weekend. I know last weekend they do this big run every year from the Kanata Running Room to the downtown running room, so from out in the suburbs to downtown Ottawa, and that's how everybody does their last long run of 32 or so kilometers before race weekend, that one that you do 3 weeks out. So that's happened, but you just see these big groups of runners out there because they're all getting ready to be among the 30, 35,000 people who will be running at Ottawa Race Weekend. It's very cool.
Yeah, I saw my neighbor or another dad on my run yesterday, and just out of nowhere, I just was like, I was really just booking, just feeling great, and I just high-fived him, and then I saw him the next day at school. He was like, wow, you were really going out there, you know? And it's funny, I don't know him that well, but I was just sort of like, I was into it out there,
yeah.
You know, high-fiving people and just like, you know, digging it.
Yeah, and speaking of the running room and Ottawa Race Weekend, I got to speak at a running room in Ottawa earlier this week. Had a great chat with a group of people who were doing the half marathon and the marathon at Ottawa Race Weekend. Some of them doing their first half marathon, some doing their first marathon. So big congratulations to them. And I got to share some
Very
of my
cool.
running stories with them. That's always fun. And it's just great to see the new people taking up the sport and going new distances for the first time, and the enthusiasm and the anticipation and the nervousness and you know, the jittery kind of feeling everybody's got in the weeks leading up to a big event. Very cool to see that.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So on the show today, we're going to talk to a really great program, the coach of a really great program here in Ottawa called Team Awesome. Awesome is spelled A-U-S-O-M-E. You introduced me to these people. This is a program that is for autistic children, children with autism, and it gives them an opportunity to run and to feel free and to play like other kids. And it gives their parents an opportunity as well to run, which I think is as much a part of this as anything.
Yeah, I mean, and the story is up on our website, and I think it's on probably the Ottawa Marathon website as well. And so much about running is giving back to other people and raising money for charities. It's just regular people that choose to get involved, you know, who really are making a difference in their community and helping other people and just using running as a platform to really do some good and do some good for other people. And she's an example of really just the very best of what we can aspire to in sport.
Absolutely. Now, have you ever run further than 42.2 kilometers, the marathon distance?
I have. One time my buddy and I thought it would be a good warm-up to run to the marathon, that we were going to get a couple of Ks to sort of loosen up before running 42.2K. It was a horrible idea, and it totally backfired, and I didn't do it again, and I've never done an ultra, and I don't ever want to do more than 42.
Okay.
Unless that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't advise that.
Right. It's funny you say that about that, because I remember Rick Hellard, who's the coach with Zone 3 Sports here in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, I know Rick.
Great running coach, has coached lots of people, including me, to great performances, personal best, Boston qualifiers, all of that. And I remember him talking one time about how, okay, when you go to the marathon, you got to go and run like a 2 or 3K warm-up before the marathon. And I remember thinking, what? Like, it's not enough that I'm going to run 42K during the marathon?
Yeah.
You want me to run another three to get ready for it? That doesn't make any sense at all. Anyway, I know some people swear by that.
If you're trying to break 2 hours in the marathon, which would be, you know, like the equivalent to the 4-minute mile, like maybe, if you're doing speeds like that. But
if you're an elite athlete, sure.
You and I are probably good for that. The basic distance is probably far enough.
Yeah.
I think that's how about a warm-up during it.
How about the first 3K of my marathon is the warm-up, right? That's the way I would approach it. Anyway, the reason I asked, we're going to be talking to an author later in the show who explores why people do ultra marathons, why so many people now have to go beyond the marathon distance.
Yeah.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, my friend.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, a runner prepares for her first marathon since she recovered from breast cancer.
iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Laura Brown ran the Paris and Rome marathons in 2016 in back-to-back weeks. But just 3 weeks later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Laura will be running the Ottawa Marathon later this month, her first marathon since the diagnosis. Laura, thank you very much for joining us on iRun Radio.
No problem.
So let's go back to April of 2016 when you were doing marathons and in these really cool destinations. And shortly after that, you got a really tough diagnosis. So tell me where you were before you found out that you had breast cancer with your running.
Sure. So I was primarily a marathon runner. I like to run marathons sort of in different places. I don't usually like to do the same one twice. So that year I decided to do Paris, and then a coworker said to me, hey, like, check out other European cities to see if there's one, another run close by. And it turned out that Rome was the week after. So I ran Paris on April 3rd and Rome on April 10th that year.
So back-to-back, two marathons in 7 days, basically, eight days.
In 7 days, yeah. Spent some time in Florence in the middle, lots of carb loading. didn't have a time goal, just wanted to complete them. It's really, Paris is my favorite city. So to run it, like running a marathon in a different city, you get to see parts of the city you don't actually see as a tourist.
Yeah.
You're running into the suburbs or into parks, similar to Sunnybrook Park in Paris. Just different areas you'd never go to. So I love doing that.
So what were those experiences like?
Rome was, I've done Boston, I've run Chicago, but Rome was spectacular. I'm not a religious person, but running in such an incredible city and you're running in and out of the piazzas. There were 13,000 runners. Only 2,000 were women, funny enough. So I placed very well, but you just run in different parts of the city that you just never see. And at one point you're running down the right beside the Vatican. It was very special. And I'm, like I said, I'm not religious, but it was an incredible experience.
And what are some of the other marathons you've done over the years?
I've done Boston, I've run Chicago, Toronto, and then Ottawa will be my sixth.
Okay. So walk me through what happened after that. You got home from this incredible trip where you not only ran these two marathons in the space of a week, but you got to do some great sightseeing as well, and then you had this diagnosis. What happened?
So I came home from Europe, and I do work for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, so we were in playoffs at the time. We were at the year where the Raptors were in the Eastern Conference Finals, so it was night after night after night after just a long days and tough work. And I was feeling off throughout the entire time. So at first I thought it was maybe jet lag, but just the exhaustion, all I wanted to do was sleep all day, to the point where I actually said to a good friend of mine, I'm like, there's something wrong, there's something wrong. And a few months, so that was April. So fast forward a little bit into May, still feeling off. And June, I did a breast exam in the shower. And I don't usually do them, ever. And something made me do it, and I found a lump on my right breast, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer in June.
And how did you feel at that point? That's obviously a horrible thing, but we are fortunately making advancements in how breast cancer and other cancers are being treated. So how did you react to that diagnosis?
So there is no history of breast cancer in my family. My mom actually was tested negative for the breast cancer gene, the BRCA2. And I'm healthy. Like, I thought I did all the right things. So for me, it was complete shock. Was not expecting that, but I did catch it early. I was lucky I caught it. I was only diagnosed with stage one. So very lucky. I consider myself very lucky.
And tell me about the treatment, because I understand you kept running and training during the treatment. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it takes a lot to bench me, quote unquote. very hyperactive. I've always been active my entire life. I used to dance when I was younger. So whenever I had an appointment, I would always, the first question out of my mouth was, well, can I run? So I had a lumpectomy and I was like, well, okay, well, can I run? And the surgeon's like, well, whenever you are okay. Then I had 12 rounds of chemotherapy weekly. And then I had 21 days of radiation, sort of back to back to back. And it wasn't until I met my radiologist who kind of, she said to me, you know, I'm not a runner, and I know that cancer patients have a lot of energy at the beginning, but the energy drops, so perhaps you should stop running and start walking. And that was kind of a life changer for me. I decided at that point I was going to do an Ironman.
Okay. So you went in the opposite direction.
You know what? I wanted to be like no one else. I'm fortunate enough in Toronto to be treated at Princess Margaret. It's a cancer, fifth best hospital for cancer in the world. It's an unbelievable place. But you kind of walk through there, and I decided I didn't want to be like anybody else. And luckily for me, I felt okay. And I really, I had no side effects from chemotherapy. And I really, give credit to staying active and running and just keeping fit the entire time helped me get through that.
Yeah, but I think we're learning a little about your personality here, right? That the doctor says, you know, maybe you should dial it back a little bit and walk instead of run, and you say, okay, I'm going to go out and do an Ironman. Like that.
She was, and I said to her, you know, so I did, after I finished radiation, I trained for 9 months, and 16 months after the day I was diagnosed, I finished my first full Ironman.
Wow.
The few days before my Ironman, I went to see her and I said to her, you know, I just want you to know what you've done and how much you've changed my life. And I said to her, never, ever. I mean, this woman is brilliant. One of the heads at Princess Margaret. And I said, don't ever tell a runner to walk. Tell your patients to do whatever they can. And if they don't feel well, to pull it back. But don't ever tell a runner to walk. And so I just kept going. She was my motivation through the entire thing.
Wow, that's such a great story. So from there, obviously, your recovery went okay?
Yeah, I had my ovaries removed in January of this year, just as a precaution. But so far, so good. I'm almost 3 years cancer-free. So just continuing to run, and I'm doing my second Ironman in September of this year in Italy.
Okay, back to Italy. That sounds good.
Yeah, back to Italy.
And you're going to be doing in Ottawa your first marathon since the diagnosis. Of course, you ran a marathon at the end of the Ironman.
But this is my actual full first marathon. My two best friends are coming with me. I have a cousin who's running the half on the same day. So I'm so excited to do this run.
And what will it mean to you to be, I mean, obviously you've already proven that you're healthy again. You did an Ironman 16 months after you were diagnosed. So this isn't about proving anything in that category, but there's symbolism to all of these events and milestones after you go through something like cancer treatment, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I actually turned 40 in a few days. So this is my first marathon and I'm turning 40, and to me, age is just a number. And I want to continue to do this for as long as possible. I have two sons, 11 and 9, and I just want to, you know, show them that things can happen in your life. But if you have goals and you set out expectations for yourself, you could kind of do anything. My son just made the track and field team yesterday, so I'm extremely proud of that.
Very cool.
They see me running and they see me living a healthy lifestyle, just despite what happened. And this is mainly for them.
That's very inspiring. And why did you choose Ottawa?
Like I said, I don't like doing the same marathon twice. A proud Canadian, I thought it would be great to run a marathon in Ottawa. It's not far from Toronto. The Scotiabank Marathon is such a well-done event in Toronto, so trying it out in Ottawa. I'm looking forward to it.
And you mentioned you have a couple of friends running with you?
My cousin's doing the half marathon, and I have two of my best friends who are there as supporters coming down.
Okay.
So there's four of us coming.
So they're making the trip, but they're not going to run with you during the race?
No, they're just going to hold my bag. And and my flip-flops for the end and the support. My one friend has been through, she's come with me to a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, you're doing this Ironman in Italy in the fall, and then what? Have you figured it out?
No, I like to do, hopefully I can qualify for Boston to go back to Boston in Ottawa in 3 weeks. Not sure. I love the Ironman. I'm going to try and do another one next year somewhere. They're fun. It's fun to travel and run or do these events. You just get to see parts of the city that you don't usually get to see. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, Laura, I'm so glad that you're healthy and that you're able to run and do Ironman events, and that I just love that message of don't tell a runner to walk. I'm going to remember that one. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I really appreciate it. And good luck in the marathon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's Laura Brown, who will be running the Ottawa Marathon in 2 weeks. Coming up next, a running program for children with autism and also for their parents. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Awesome Ottawa is a running program that provides an opportunity for children with autism to be active and have fun. We're joined by the coach of the program, Amy Bienkowski. Amy, welcome to iRun Radio.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us.
So tell me how Team Awesome started. This is your second year. How did this get going?
It began because of Awesome Ottawa had lots of different programs offered to children. We had soccer and we had basketball and water polo, different sports, but we didn't have anything for running. And being in Ottawa, we saw the excitement of race weekend and knew about the charity challenge. So we thought that it was a really good fit with our mission of Awesome Ottawa, of getting kids active. And so we thought that we should join with race weekend and have a team in it and last year was our first year for it, and we had a great time doing it. So we started doing the run club last year to get the kids excited for the race weekend.
And Awesome Ottawa is all about helping kids get active. So tell me a little bit about what impact that has on their lives.
Yeah, so Lisa Vexler and Derek Firth are the founders of Awesome Ottawa, and about 3 years they came up with the idea for Awesome Ottawa. They saw the strain that families had of different programming, but also saw that a lot of these children didn't have access to sports, whether it would be for financial or that sports in the community are sometimes tough for children with autism, different sensory needs, their gross motor and fine motor might be a little bit behind their peers. So they wanted to have an environment that was fun, but also would teach kids some of these activities. So then maybe they could either bridge it to be on community teams or even just to know how to play some of those sports when kids are playing recess. So they wanted to enrich the lives of kids and families with autism through sport and recreation. So they, through volunteers and staff, they had a lot of these programs set up with different community members in Ottawa. And every year it's just kept getting more and more children have been involved in our program. But these all cost money to have
sure.
these because the mission was to keep these programs free for children. So we had in the fall, we have a fundraising night, like a gala. So we thought it would be fun to have another fundraising in the spring, and the race weekend just seemed like a perfect fit for organizations since we're all about sport and recreation.
And what impact have you seen when kids have been participating in sports and now that they're running? Running is such a it's such a wonderful thing for kids. To see kids run is to see them experiencing joy and to you can see the energy kind of coming out of them when they run. So what have you witnessed in terms of the impact it's had on the children in the program?
Yeah, just what you said. Like, I think watching the kids come out every week, and it is, like, kids just light up when they're running. I mean, I think when you think of kids running, they think of one speed. They love to sprint. They love to run fast. So we do try to help them with some pacing stuff. But I'd say that running, and we invite the families, so the whole families are there too. So I think the impact is that it gets the whole families active and hopefully, you know, transfers over to different sports. But we really, the emphasis is on fun. So just that is the time that we're with them, and hopefully it carries on throughout the week, is just kids lighting up and smiling and laughing while they're participating.
Yeah. I love what you said there about we try to help them with pacing, because I think that's almost a metaphor for parenthood, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is a marathon. So, yeah, for sure. We have, that's been children with autism sometimes have different motivators than other children. So we do try to keep, for all kids, but a lot of our running games are just that. Like, we pretend like we're animals. So I'll show up a sign that, like, you know, to run like a turtle is slow, like a cheetah, they can run fast, and like a dog is supposed to be a more controlled pace. So to get them used to maybe running longer distances.
Yeah, tell me more about what it's like coaching this group of children.
It's a lot of fun, actually. So we this year we had sort of this family run club.